The Lord be with you.
And with
you. Read from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus had finished all his words to the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave who was ill and about to die. And he was valuable to him. When he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and save the life of his slave. They approached Jesus and strongly urged him to come, saying, "He deserves to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he built the synagogue for us." Jesus went with them. When he was only a short distance from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Therefore I did not consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a person subject to authority, a soldier subject to me. When I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come here,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning, he said to the crowd following him, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When the messengers returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. The Gospel of the Lord. First reading, one idea, is that St. Paul speaks about division in the early church. Factions, division in the early church. That's the work of the devil. Okay? It's work of the devil. The devil tries to sow seeds of discord and division. He's going to try to do it in your family. In your family, there's usually one member that's causing division in the family, and you have to recognize that. And if you say, for example, you've got a father and you've got four or five kids, you have to intervene and try to correct it. I've been teaching catechism for more than 40 years. No? I have a little bit of experience. No? Often you can have a class that's excellent. You were a catechist too, I think. Some of you are catechists. One person in the class can ruin it. What did John Bosco do? Kicked him out. John Bosco, who's one of the greatest catechists in the Catholic Church. By the way, St. Robert today is the patron of catechists. Okay? So, in the parish, you got groups. There's usually going to be some person in the group that's divisive. In companies, I remember a few years ago, my baby brother was a CEO of a very successful company when he was 28. Okay? I remember years ago speaking to him, and there was this one guy in the company that was not obeying rules. Three strikes, you're out. He kicked the guy out. The guy went to human resources, but he was kicked out anyway. My brother was keenly aware the company's not going to work. Direct Capital is the name of the company. It's not going to work if you got a divisive element in it. So, to make a long story short, we should be sources of peace and harmony and try to avoid being divisive individuals. Try to sow peace and harmony rather than be a divisive person that's going to be sowing discord. Okay, that's idea from the first reading. Okay, the gospel is very beautiful. And the gospel today we've incorporated into the liturgy. If you really comb through the Mass, a good part of the Mass are elements taken from the liturgy. For example, the Lamb of God, what comes from the book of Exodus, and when Jesus, John the Baptist says, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So a good part of the Mass is taken from various parts of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Okay, you have the centurion. The centurion was a Roman, and as Father Simon was saying today in Relevant Radio, it means someone who's ahead of 100 soldiers. Centurion means that he was head of 100 soldiers. The centurion was he was the backbone of the Roman army. He had a lot of power. He knew how to use arms. He could read. Don't forget, 2,000 years ago, very few people knew how to read. So this person was an individual that had a lot of talents, intellectual. He was a leader. And also he knew how to use arms. And he commanded respect. And he could command someone to be killed. So this was not a buck private. This was a person of real importance. So someone is sick in his household and he's got compassion toward this person. And he finds out that Jesus is in town in Capernaum, and he believed that Jesus could heal his servant. So he sends for Jesus, and Jesus is heading toward the house of the centurion. And not only is the centurion a very powerful man, but his man is very humble. He recognizes Jesus coming under my roof, I'm not worthy. It's Jesus. Did he believe that he was the Son of God? Maybe not. Maybe not. But he recognized that Jesus was a man of great authority. He was a great teacher. Someone that was respected and loved by many. He didn't feel worthy for Jesus to come under his roof. So he sends someone to Jesus and says, you know, Lord, this is the message. I'm not worthy. I'm under authority. I tell someone to come. He comes, go, do this, do that. And there's one phrase today that is very impressive. It says, Jesus was amazed. You know what the word amazed means? Amazed is a strong word in English. Amazed. This is the human nature of Christ. Christ had the human nature, the divine nature. He was amazed, what? At the faith of this man. And obviously what Jesus did, he healed him right away. Now you're going to be saying the prayer. You're going to be saying the prayer that you heard in the gospel in about 10 minutes. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and my soul will be healed. This is taken from the gospel today. So what you should glean from that is you should be praying for confidence, faith, and humility. Amen? You receive the Eucharist. In that you got three virtues. Confidence, that Jesus can heal. Faith, that he can move the mountains. And humility, like the centurion, we're not worthy. We're not worthy. So hopefully the Mass is going to become more alive to you because of my homily explaining the connection between this gospel and the Mass. Okay, I wish you'd give me another hour to preach on the great saint today, but give me 2 minutes. Today is Saint Robert Bellarmine. In Italian, Bellarmino. Pray to St. Robert Bellarmine for the church. He's a saint that we have to pray for the church. He was a little guy, maybe about 4'11". He had to stand on a stool when he was preaching because he was so small. They say in Spanish, un chaparito. He was a small guy. Okay? But he was a spiritual giant. And he was a Jesuit. And he lived in one of the most difficult times in the church. He lived at the time of the Protestant Reformation and the Battle of Lepanto. So he's living in a time in which the church was being rent asunder from within and attacked by the Muslims. So just a few details in his life. He's ordained a priest. He becomes a professor at what today would be the Gregorian University in Rome, where some of our guys study, which is the most famous university of the Jesuits in Rome. And he started to write. He wrote two excellent catechisms. Don't forget, when he's writing, it's right after the Council of Trent, where you're going to get the first universal catechism. He's going to be writing two local catechisms, which were probably among the best catechisms ever written in the church. So this is the day we celebrate the patron of catechists. He, Pius X, and John Bosco are the patron of catechists. So you might even just look into reading through some of his catechism. It was written, 400 years ago, but obviously it's going to be a masterpiece. Second is, he was the advisor to five popes, okay? And he was made a cardinal and archbishop. And it's in the rule of the Jesuits that they can't be cardinals or archbishops. So he told the pope, I can't be cardinal or archbishop. The pope said, you have to obey me, otherwise it's a mortal sin. The pope said, no, you have to be cardinal or archbishop because of the gifts that you have. So he obeyed. Then he wrote what is called the controversias. I was reading something in Spanish yesterday, the controversies, which would be the responses to defend the Catholic Church against the Protestant attacks. Francis de Sales loved him so much that Francis de Sales would carry with him, he'd carry with him the Bible and the controversies written by Robert Bellarmine. The Protestants that read this, They were scared stiff. One Protestant said, we're lost. This is written with such clarity and truth that as Protestants, we're lost. So I really feel that we have to pray for our cardinals. We have to pray for our archbishops. We have to pray for our bishops. We have to pray for our priests. We have to pray for our Catholic Church. So I think one thing that we can do in this difficult time is maybe write out a litany in which you have canonized bishops, and pray for the church. Do any of you know any canonized bishops? Do any of you know? Okay, Albert the Great, St. Anthony Mary Claret. Do we have one here in this country? St. John Neumann. Okay, St. Anthony Mary Claret. These are canonized bishops. St. Alfonso Liguori, one of the greatest. Maybe you could do this today. Write down 10 canonized bishops, archbishops, and pray to them for our bishops. Instead of criticizing our bishops, let's pray for them, fast for them, and pray to these great bishops in heaven that they will help our Catholic Church. Amen.